Hey, welcome to Your Turn, Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us here, as we are every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Today we're going to be talking, as usual, about following the money. Talk with Mike Davis. He's president of Dominion Dental. And then we'll switch over to Andy Medici from the Federal Times to see what the latest, including a GSA car sharing plan. But first, talking about Mike Davis, and is there somebody in your carpool or your office that seems to be you to be overly happy, that they're bubbly no matter what, and when you'd like to take them down a peg? Well, one way to do it is to ask them how they like their health plan's dental coverage. Most federal plans, maybe all of them, have some form of dental coverage, but it's limited. Walton Francis, who's the world's leading authority on the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program and editor of the Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans, says that HMOs, that's health maintenance organizations, offer the best coverage, but it's still not enough for many people. And a lot of people, particularly older workers and retirees, seem to shy away from HMOs. So what to do? The open season for federal health insurance begins next Monday, and people must pick their health plan for the 2014 year. If they don't, they'll remain in their current plan, and that could be a costly mistake. Premiums are going up an average of 4.4% for individuals, but we all know what averages are. Some are higher than others, so it, as always, pays to shop. This open season also covers things like supplementary dental and vision insurance coverage, which is why we've asked Mike Davis to join us today. Mike, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for standing by. Really appreciate this. Hey, a couple, I guess, stock questions for you. What's the difference between the dental benefit offered by most, if not all, of the FEHBP plans and something like Dominion's supplemental plan?
Well, I think a lot of the medical programs that offer a dental benefit within it is fairly limited, providing just a little bit of coverage on preventive and diagnostic services, whereas the ancillary products sponsored by OPM through BeneFeds is a comprehensive benefit package ranging from oral exams and fillings and cleanings to comprehensive care such as orthodontia, as well as sealants and crowns and root canals and some of the more major services that are, that you might see out there.
So that's an expensive set of items right there. Okay, do people who are covered stick with their own dentist, or do you have a network that they choose from?
Well, there's 10 benefit or 10 carriers being offered by OPM this open season. Most of them are PPO-type products where you have the option to go in or out of network. Dominion's product, we're the dental HMO-type product where there is an exclusive network of dentists to choose from. That network is growing. It's about 5,000 access points in the Mid-Atlantic area. We have great coverage. We're one of the largest dental HMOs in the area. As far as the dental HMO, what's different with it? Yes, you do have to go to an in-network dentist. However, the coverage is comparable to the other PPO products, but a lot of times it's a specific fee copayment, a specific fee schedule that a member has, and so there's no balance billing or members know exactly what they're going to pay when they go in-network. And typically on the HMO products, as you probably well know, the premiums typically are going to be significantly different or less than the comparable PPO programs. And obviously access is a key, and our dentists are certified. But the big difference between the PPO and the dental HMO is the fee schedule and network utilization.
So if I signed up for one of these plans, including yours, and I had to have a procedure done, I would expect to pay a flat fee, I don't know what you call it, a deductible or something?
Well, under our program, based on the procedure code that you're having performed, such as, let's say, a crown, there will be a specific fee that you would pay for that crown. That goes the same for if there's a copay at all. A lot of the preventive and diagnostic work, oral exam, cleanings, x-rays, those are covered at no charge. With our program, there is typically an office visit copayment, and that does apply with these programs that we're offering.
What do the copayments run? I know that could cover a lot of waterfront.
Yes, they're all over the place. As you can imagine, crowns are quite expensive. So they vary from procedure code to procedure code. And we are offering a standard plan and a higher option plan. But, for example, A filling could be as low or as $50 for a cleaning. A filling, and crown work can be range from $380 to $550. So out of pocket, but that's when you look at that, that's compared to a typical crown could be anywhere from $800 to $1,400 depending on the dentist you choose. But our dentist that we've contracted with are accepting that fee as in full.
So I obviously went in the right or the wrong trade here. Hey, what's your premium structure like? You mentioned you have a standard and a high option.
Yes, there's a standard and a high option plan. The premiums are for an individual or a family, and that's structured. All plans are alike. They're individual or family coverage, whether you're a federal employee or a retiree enrolling.
So, and an individual plan obviously is one person. Family plan is two or more. And what about same sex partners?
We offer same sex partner coverage, and I'm pretty confident that that is consistent with the program being offered through benefits or through OPM.
Okay. Now what should I have asked you that I didn't?
What should you have asked that you didn't? The preparation. We're a new dental carrier with OPM, so this is we're honored. First off, to be included as a FedVIP dental carrier, our plans are, our preparation for FedVIP. It's an enormous undertaking. It's probably one of the largest accounts we'll ever have, and we won't see until open enrollment. We've already invested time and energy. Our member services staff, we've pretty much doubled, or 200% more member services staff to accommodate the influx of calls for this fall. We were participating in over 120 meetings with OPM over the next month, and we've already started that last week. I know officially open enrollment doesn't begin till next Monday, but we have begun open enrollment meetings and receiving a lot of interest in our program because it's different than what's been offered in the past, and so we're very excited about that.
Well, we love initials and shorthands in this town, but FedVIP stands for Federal Dental and Vision Benefit.
Yes, correct? Federal Employee Dental Vision Insurance Program.
Now, are you in the vision business?
We do offer vision benefits, but not through we're not a vendor for OPM.
Okay, and as I understand it, the dental benefit that has been offered to date by the HMOs and PPOs and others, fee for service plans, is more popular than the vision. Now, what about somebody using a flexible spending account or one of those health savings accounts? Can you explain how they work and how they would apply to your services?
Yeah, well, the premium is tax deferred, so it's that wouldn't go through the flexible spending account. But any copayments, any out-of-pocket costs that a member might receive, could submit the copayments or out-of-pocket costs for the dental services through their flexible spending account.
And in prior years, an individual could set aside up to $5,000 or earmark that for a flexible spending account. But I understand the Affordable Care Act knocked that down to $2,500 for an individual.
I'm not an expert on flexible spending accounts, but there are adjustments going on.
Okay. Now, if I'm a typical federal worker, I like my health plan, but I don't like its dental coverage. What should I be looking at with yours or other supplemental plans?
Oh, good question. There's a lot of plans to choose from, which is great for the employees and the retirees. There are different plan coverages. Like we mentioned before, there's a standard. Some people are offering a standard plan. Some people are offering a high plan. And a lot of the coverage levels are, there's a minimum threshold that's been dictated. So all the plans are fairly similar when they're offering a standard or high plan in terms of coverage amount. But there are, because there are different network options, there's a PPO where you can go in and out of network with the program, or there's an EPO program where it's exclusive to just their PPO network. And then there's also ours, the dental HMO network. So choice is great when you're looking at a population as diverse and spread out as the federal employees. And we recommend federal employees and retirees to look at all the plan options and select one that's best for them and their family. Dental benefits is a personal and emotional service, so plan benefit selection is a personal choice, and more options is best for the employees and retirees.
I remember when fluoride was taking hold, and many people predicted that by this time, the year 2015, there would not be any dentists. And in fact, there are still dentists. They're just doing a lot more expensive procedures, less cavities and more braces and crowns and the like. People seem to be taking better care of themselves.
I think they are taking better care of themselves. There's instruments. Yeah, dental disease is preventable for most of the population. You know, getting out to your dentist and having your preventive work done, identifying issues, if you have a filling that needs to be done, having that taken care of now, rather than waiting and delaying that benefit, because that is going to lead to more expensive work in the future if it is ignored.
Okay, Mike, we need to take a short break here.
Yes.
But when we come back, I want to ask you about the premiums themselves. We'll be right back here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com.
True innovation means anticipating challenges before they occur. Lockheed Martin was early to recognize the changing nature of naval warfare. New types of threats in coastal waters called for a new kind of combat ship. We responded with deep thinking for shallow waters, designing the littoral combat ship with speed, agility, and the most networked sensors of any surface combatant. And to make sure commanders stay one step ahead of evolving missions, the LCS is built on a flexible C-frame with interchangeable mission modules. It offers the operational flexibility to execute focused missions such as anti-submarine, mine, and surface warfare, providing access and dominance in the coastal battle space like never before. The LCS is one more example of our ongoing commitment to those who are meeting the security challenges of today and tomorrow. Lockheed Martin. We never forget who we're working for.
Caps fans, the Caps are back on the ice, and you don't want to miss any of the action of this exciting 2013-14 season. Single game tickets are on sale now, so make sure to get yours today.
Ovechkin, he scores! Off the draw! Ovechkin!
Don't miss Ovechkin, Backstrom, Green, and the rest of your Washington Capitals as they take the ice this season. To purchase single game tickets, call 800-745-3000.
Ask the CIO is brought to you by LearningTree International. LearningTree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government.
Iftikhar Jamil is the NOAA Assistant CIO for weather.
We migrated our high-performance computing to a whole new capability. In the past, we used to run our own hardwares and things like that. Now we are procuring services. We have more than doubled our capacity from 90 terabytes to about 213 terabytes.
Listen to Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Get empowered with the IT skills you need to improve performance and help your agency achieve its goals. LearningTree is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government, and they're on GSA IT 70 and MOBIS 874 schedules, which means all levels of the government and qualified contractors get the best tuition savings possible. For a limited time, government employees can enter to win a free course, plus a free course for a colleague. To enter to win your free course, go to learningtree.com/CIO. That's learningtree.com/CIO.
Healthcare providers often put aside optimizing business processes because their primary mission is care. But these processes are critical to improving patient outcomes in the long term. Register for AFSEA Bethesda's 6th Health IT Day on November 13th at the Bethesda North Marriott and hear how federal IT pros are optimizing their business processes with cutting-edge technology solutions and research to provide quality care for the patients of tomorrow. Register today at AFSEABethesda.org/HealthIT. Day.
Mike Causey, welcome back to your turn. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm talking with Mike Davis. He's president of Dominion Dental. And as you know, the open season begins next Monday, and that's a time when everybody in the federal employee health benefits program, 8 to 9 million people, needs to be looking at their health insurance choices for the year 2014. If you don't make a choice, if you stay on your plan, which is what the vast majority of people do, then there will be no change. You'll be rolled over into your same old plan. It may be great, and you may be comfortable with it. On the other hand, it may be one of those that's raising premiums significantly, and a number of them are because of the adverse selection shift, the number of older, sicker people who are moving out of one plan and into another. So it's critical every year that you shop. You can say Walton Francis, who the Washington Consumer Checkbook editor, says almost anybody can save $1,000. Some people can save $2,000 a year in premiums. And the number one thing you want to look for when you're getting health insurance is the catastrophic coverage. That is the out-of-pocket limit to you in case of a major accident or disease or illness. And medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States. So this is not something to be taken lightly. You may be one of the immortals, you know, a 22-year-old that runs marathons and is a vegetarian and eats lots of kale, but you can still step in front of a bus, so you do need to be insured whether you think you are or not. Mike Davis of Dominion Dental, his company has been chosen by OPM to participate this year, and they are offering a supplemental dental package, and many other plans are offering supplemental vision packages as well. But Mike, can you explain what you're offering, how you got this contract from OPM and what you're offering?
Well, OPM has allowed, I guess, the FedVIP, or the Federal Employee Dental Vision Insurance Program, was offered for the first time about 7 years ago and went out to bid again this year. They asked if for regional carriers to jump in and participate, and they opened to other types of programs. They just had, I think, about five PPO products available nationwide. And so they're looking for regional products and things that some differentiation. And our proposal or our product is a different product. It's a dental HMO. And because we offer one of the largest Mid-Atlantic offerings, I believe they chose us because we can provide an alternate product, alternate price schedule, and an alternate product behavior in terms of it's an exclusive network. And so we're offered only in the Mid-Atlantic region, you know, go from Erie down to Hampton Roads area, and those areas in between is where we're being offered. Why we were picked, I think, because of our price competitiveness. We're making available products to individuals where they could reduce their premium significantly if they want to choose a product that has an exclusive network.
So if you're one of the five regional carriers that have been selected, presumably there's others in the Northeast, in the Southwest, in the Far West?
Well, actually, from our research, as far as we are aware, there's 10 dental carriers nationwide, and in our region there's 9 because there's one international carrier. But we're the only DHMO being offered by OPM for FedVIP for dental options. So we're the only DHMO, but we're only regional in the Mid-Atlantic. So in the Northeast, I do not believe there's another DHMO plan being offered. They're the same PPO products that were currently available.
So they'd have to depend on the existing products offered by the fee-for-service and the HMO plans.
Well, they have options to choose a standalone PPO dental product in other areas, and there's 8 or 9 of them nationwide now.
Okay,
they've added a couple new ones.
The Mid-Atlantic region that you're talking about, you mentioned Erie, which of course is Pennsylvania, down to Hampton Roads at the bottom of Virginia. So those states, and presumably Delaware, and is West Virginia in it?
West Virginia's not. We have Maryland, Delaware, D.C., Virginia, if you follow the 95 corridor, mm-hmm. and then over to 64 down to Hampton Roads, as well as the state of Pennsylvania and some areas in southern New Jersey.
Okay, good. Let's talk about money now, what the premiums you offer. And again, the difference between these standalone dental and vision plans, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that with the regular federal health insurance, the government, on average, picks up about 70% of the premium, more than that even for postal workers, not postal retirees, but postal workers. But in this case, the individual, I would assume, pays the entire plan premium?
Yes, these are your typical voluntary plans where the individual pays 100% of the premium out of their pocket, so out of their paycheck, and it's tax-deferred. But 100%, there is no employer contribution of federal money in the program.
And what are those premiums, actually? You've got, I guess you'd have four options. You'd have standard, single, and family, and then whatever you call it, the...
Higher option, single, family. Correct.
What would those be?
Well, they range. They're all over the place. Our programs, I'm just looking for our rates right now. Our programs range, I think they start at $596 for a single. That's a biweekly premium for a single. And that's, so it all depends on where you live or where your office is, where you work. There's five different rate tiers.
Okay.
in the states we mentioned before. So it can range on the lower option plan or the standard plan. It starts at $596 and can be as much as say $884 on a biweekly basis.
That's for single coverage.
That's for single coverage. Yes.
Okay.
And on the family program, it could be as high as I'm just looking at the rates, $26.55 for the family, higher on the family rate on the standard option, and on the high option plan on the family, it can be as much as $45.54 on a biweekly basis.
Okay, that's family high option.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So it is all over the place.
It is all over the place, and everybody, all the plans are like that. I just encourage people. There's a couple comparison tools that you can go to on the enrollment page and benefits. You type in your zip code, and it lists out the different products and the different rates that are available in your area. So there's a pretty easy tool there once you log into benefits. That's the open enrollment page that you can go to. You can also we dedicate a web page called federaldentalplans.com. That's Dominion-specific that we dedicated for FedVIP for Dominion's products, and we have rates and plans out there as well as we offer an enrollment demo. So we make available a presentation, about a five-minute presentation people can go to. It'll show the rates, it'll show the products, it'll show the different attributes of the product.
Well, you know, we mentioned earlier that people seem to be, I think you can just look around you, seem to be taking better care of their teeth and more preventive maintenance. And I think one reason for that, in addition to just flat-out education and prosperity, is the linkage that some have established between dental hygiene and heart disease.
Yes, there's been several studies that have come out recently from some of the medical plans who are connecting the oral and body health and doing some connections with cardiovascular disease or diabetics or expectant mothers are trying to do some outreach to those folks to educate them to do better oral hygiene. There's some links resulting to better risk on the cardiovascular and diabetic populations.
Yeah, I know someone who recently was courting with an infection, or maybe they actually had one, and the dentist insisted that they get it fixed sooner rather than later because they said it could have rather immediate and serious consequences with heart problems.
Absolutely, and there's some periodontal disease and linkage. And so, yeah, we encourage people to get to the dentist, and it could have other solutions beyond just oral health maintenance. And something that might find interesting, I think some of the reasons why we have a better oral health population is there's more people covered by dental insurance. I think it's up to about 55 to 60% of the Americans are covered by dental insurance. And studies have shown that if somebody has dental insurance, they're twice to 2.5 times more likely to go see a dentist. And so getting insurance, people feel comfortable with it. They have access to coverage, so they are more likely to go out and seek dental treatment.
That seems like an incredibly high number, 55 to 60% covered by it. But that's through their regular office or company health plans.
Yeah, or individual products, or through government-sponsored products such as Medicaid or CHIP products. A lot of kids are covered through CHIP and other like services.
Do you know I'll take a break here. Lauren Larson is giving us the evil eye, but I'll be right back here on Federal News Radio, federalnewsradio.com.
Do you hear that? That's a fighter jet. It travels Mach 2 and weighs 20 tons. And we just made it invisible. Raytheon technology not only helps aircraft stay hidden from the enemy, but provides communication and combat advantages for planes, ships, land vehicles, and soldiers. After all, when your mission is EW, innovation comes at the speed of light. Raytheon, customer success is our mission. Do you hear that? That's another success story. An SM-3 missile heading toward its target. With each launch, Raytheon adds to our record of more successful intercepts of test missiles in space than any other company, bringing integrated, cost-effective protection to countless nations. After all, when your mission is missile defense, success is the most powerful ally of all. Raytheon, customer success is our mission.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
Help feed those in need. Donate to the 18th annual Ravens Family Food and Funds Drive as it supports the Maryland Food Bank. Fans can give one of three ways: online at mdfoodbank.org/ravens, in-store at Baltimore area Giant grocery stores, or before kickoff at the Ravens versus Jets home game on November 24th outside the stadium. Those who donate online will be entered to win tickets to a Ravens game. Don't wait. Donate today. More information at baltimoreravens.com.
APWU Health Plan reminds you, it's the countdown to better health. You have 4 weeks remaining to enroll.
APWU, serving postal and federal employees and annuitants since 1960. APWU Health Plan offers affordable premiums, low copays, and quality care. For details on how to enroll, go to APWUHP.com and click on Open Season. Together, better health.
Like Federal News Radio on Facebook for a look at some of the top federal stories each day. Plus, we'll give you a taste of what goes on behind the scenes. Find us at facebook.com/Federal News Radio.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. I'm Mike Causey. I'm talking with Mike Davis. He's president of Dominion Dental, and they are new this year to the federal program in that they've been picked to provide extra coverage for people in the Mid-Atlantic region. It's interesting to hear that APWU commercial, too, and we just got a call from someone, who's a woman who said she is a very happy member of GEHA, which is another fee-for-service plan, and she said their dental coverage, which is part of their regular package, is good, and we ought to explore that in another program, and we will do that. Mike, back to this thing. If your mother or one of your adult children was looking for a dental plan, and they worked for the federal government, what would you tell them to do?
Well, first off, I'd try to get an understanding, ask them to look at what their dental needs are. Have they been going to the dentist routinely? Have they received the care they need? If they have, they probably have a good understanding of what they need to have performed. And based on that, look at the coverage, look at the cost of the treatment programs their dentist has provided, and see which plan works best for them. If they're at a state of maintenance and they're receiving, and them and their family are receiving, you know, X-rays or oil evaluations and pretty much cleanings on a twice a year basis, they may not need to pay for the more costly or high option programs, because each of those programs offer preventive and diagnostic work at 100% coverage. So they may want to consider not buying, I'm not going to say they call it the Cadillac plan, but buying the high option plan. They may want to consider looking at the standard programs that are available. Take a look at their network needs or dentist. And then if there's somebody that hasn't been to a dentist in a long time, they may want to consider one of the higher option plans, because they have to have more costly work done, such as crown work. And they may want to consider, if they haven't been to a particular dentist in a long time, they may want to consider going to an in-network program and then go to an in-network plan that meets their cost or premium needs. I should back up real quick before I mentioned, I wasn't sure if I was very clear, but there is three rate tiers for a subscriber to choose. It could be an individual, self-only. It can be a self plus one dependent, whether it's a spouse or a child. And it could be an individual, a self plus two or more dependents. And yes, indeed, they are same-sex spouses are eligible for benefits this upcoming year.
So you have self-only, self-plus-one, and self-plus-two or more, right?
Correct. Family coverage.
Family coverage, okay. And that is, I didn't realize that had actually become a reality. That's something they've looked for a long, long time. Well, that's a very good point you make about, first thing is look at yourself and what are your needs, because if you are young and healthy, if you've had good maintenance, regular cleanings and that sort of thing, you can get a less expensive plan and probably do very well by it. Whereas if you've, like a lot of people, neglected your teeth for decades, then you might want to start out considering with a Cadillac plan, because it's very likely you're going to be hit with some major work and maybe ordered to do cleanings more often than twice a year.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, and I think there's products out there that have high maximums on the high option plans, and there's also plans such as ours, that there are no maximums, so they can get a lot of work done in 1 year period. They don't have to wait a year after year to get all the work that they need done. So, take a look at those programs. There are maximums typical with the PPO programs, and with the DHMO, there are no maximums.
Have you seen any numbers, either numbers or percentages, as to the federal workers who are participating in these optional dental programs, as opposed to the ones that are offered by all of the plans?
Well, I think a lot of the medical programs out, you're talking about between the medical and the dental?
Yes.
I think a lot of the medical programs, there are some that cover some basic dental services, and then there are many that do not cover any dental services. And so I'm not sure about the participation level with medical programs, but I believe the dental participation, the voluntary enrollment, is somewhere north of 40% of the employees participate in the dental programs. But
that's a lot. That's surprising.
That's a good number.
And did you say that some of the plans don't offer any dental benefits?
The medical programs?
Yes.
Yes. It's my understanding that there are plans that don't offer any dental benefits with the medical program.
Okay, you would think their premiums would be much lower, would reflect that. But
well, you'd think so. I think those programs that do offer dental benefits within their program is a select level of benefits. It's not it may not be very comprehensive, so it may not impact the premiums quite that much.
Well, I know in deciphering this, sometimes it helps to be a doctor or have taken Latin at high school or something. But when you go through the catalogs and the brochures, there are certain terms to look forward to explain what they cover and what they don't.
No, I think what they put together in the benefit package for the program is very comprehensive in terms of the explanation of benefits. It'll break it up into four different categories: your basic care, which is your exams, X-rays, your cleanings, and then you have your intermediate care. They talk about that's typically your fillings, oral surgery, endodontics, periodontics, which is endodontics being root canals type things, and major care. And then the orthodontics is the fourth category. So I think they've explained it pretty well. Yeah, if you look at the list of procedures, they can be you feel like you need to go to medical school or dental school to understand what they mean. But I think they've done a pretty good job of providing all the detail as well as summarizing the benefits that are available within the plans. And all of them are very comprehensive in terms of services that are covered. Cosmetic services are typically not covered, but outside of that, the laundry list of dental procedures that are promoted by the ADA is, I don't know, something around maybe 500 procedures or something like that. But the coverage provided is very comprehensive, and And I think people, while they may not understand all the technical terms, I think they've done a good job at summarizing the benefits.
Well, Walt Francis, who edits and longtime editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook's Guide to Federal Health Plans, is going to be on for your benefit on this station Monday at 10 a.m., and that'll be the kickoff, and then I'm going to have him on this show the following Wednesday, and he will be around with us. There, the checkbook guide is worth having. I personally like print things, but I guess it's a generational thing. But now they have gone online, and a number of federal agencies, in fact, I would say probably the majority of federal agencies, are making it free to their people. So if you are a federal worker, check out and see if your agency is offering this service. And in the past, I know you weren't a part of the program then, but have you noticed how their coverage of the dental side of the health plans in Checkbook?
No, I haven't. I haven't reviewed the Checkbook magazine in a number of years, actually, so not exactly familiar. I do appreciate what Checkbook offers, because it does break up different services and provide a comparative value to the services that are being made available by various entities, including federal employee health benefits.
Well, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I will ask Walt when we have him on the show, but I think in past years he said that all of the fee-for-service plans offer roughly the same benefit, dental benefit, which is not particularly good, but it's sort of basic, and that some of the best are actually in the HMOs themselves, and that may possibly include you in their ratings this year. But it's the kind of thing you really need to shop around for. And he argues that unless you're really bad shape, don't buy a health plan exclusively because of its dental benefit. And that would seem to be fit perfectly for you guys, because someone could pick the health plan they wanted, a GEHA or an APW or Blue Cross, and then buy yours as a supplemental.
Yeah, absolutely. Purchase ours as a supplemental. And the supplemental plans do coordinate benefits with the medical plans that offer dental benefits. So it's more of like a stack coverage, so they get the best value out of the products that they're purchasing.
Well, Mike, I think we've about covered the waterfront here, don't you?
Yes, I do. I appreciate it. Thank you for your time, and I hope I've helped.
That was wonderful. Thank you, and we'll be talking again. Mike Davis, president of Dominion Dental. We're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we'll talk with Andy Medici from the Federal Times about some really interesting federal stories that are developing. Be right back here on 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Doesn't love a good happy ending, like when the underdog team throws a Hail Mary and ends up winning the championship? Goosebumps. Or when the beautiful princess plants one on a frog and turns it into her charming prince? Best kiss ever. At Kaiser Permanente, we're suckers for happy endings, and as leaders in heart and stroke care, we're doing our part to create a few of them ourselves. We've developed industry-leading practices that have resulted in some truly amazing positive outcomes, like decreasing the mortality rate in our stroke patients by 42% and reducing serious heart attacks by 62%. But the story gets even better. If other healthcare providers followed those same practices, over 1 million heart attacks and strokes would be prevented. Now there's a happy ending we can all feel good about. Kaiser Permanente. Join us at kp.org.
Studies conducted in Northern California, 2001 through 2010, projection based on cardiovascular prevention interventions over a five-year period, including Medicare and non-Medicare patients. Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Uber conferences is free. You basically decide who you want in the phone call, and you set up the time for the phone call. Like, I want to make a conference call at 2 o'clock tomorrow. And you could put all these people in a group, so you could easily just add the group. And then what happens, at the time of the conference call, Uber Call calls everybody, and it also sends them an email, and they're in the conference.
Huh. Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
Wizards fans, join the 2013-14 DC-12 season ticket holder club's rookie class and watch your favorite Wizards, John Wall, Nene, Bradley Beal.
Beal shoots the three. It's there! It's there!
And the newest Wizard, Otto Porter, all season long at Verizon Center. Season tickets start at just $3.99. Buy now and you'll receive an authentic Wizards warm-up jacket by Adidas, an autographed basketball from Otto Porter, and much more. Call 202-661-5050 or visit WashingtonWizards.com today.
The Federal Eye Care Vision Series is provided by VSP Vision Care.
Want great eye care and eyewear at a price you can afford? From classic styles to the latest in designer frames, you're sure to find the pair that's right for you. Plus, you can save up to $481 by enrolling in the High Option Plan with VSP.
Get VSP and get the best choices in eyewear at a price that fits any budget. Visit ChooseVSP.com to complete your look. That's ChooseVSP.com.
They're dreaded words on the outside of a box, assembly required. But it might not be long before products assemble themselves. Instead of spending your weekend building a new purchase from a box full of parts, imagine gathering those pieces together, providing a bit of energy, a shake, a little heat or electricity.
And then they can start to connect to one another. And if you can guide them into connecting in the right ways, you can have the parts assemble themselves and assemble in highly precise structures.
Skylar Tibbetts, an architect and computer scientist at MIT, is engineering materials pre-programmed to change shape and interact in very specific ways, and he's not aiming small.
Self-assembly is a phenomenon that we see at nano and micro scales, predominantly in biology and chemistry or material science, but we're trying to use that as a technology for manufacturing, construction, more the industrial sector.
More at nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
FederalNewsRadio.com, the best place for federal managers on the go. Visit the site from your smartphone for links to all the latest news. Find it at FederalNewsRadio.com.
Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here. I'm going to be speaking with Andy Medici. He's a writer for the Federal Times and has some interesting topics for us. Andy, are you there?
Yes, I am. It's good to be here.
Good. Thanks for coming on. And I keep meaning to ask you, did any of that Medici money from the old country trickle down and come over here with your family?
If it did, do you think I'd be on the air with you right now?
I thought maybe this was a hobby for you.
If it was, it'd be a good hobby.
Obviously not. Okay. Hey, you mentioned something intriguing about a GSA car sharing plan.
I mean, we're all familiar with, you know, organizations like Zipcar. The idea is that GSA is going to be launching a pilot project in certain cities that would try to emulate some of the success that these car sharing programs have had by using some of the cars in its fleet for this purpose.
That's intriguing, and obviously D.C., I guess, would be one of them, huh?
Yeah, it would be Washington, D.C., New York City, Boston, and Chicago, and that's supposed to start in the next couple of months.
That's amazing. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the federal government is maybe the largest fleet purchaser in the country, topping even some of the rental car companies.
I mean, overall, if you include everything, and GSA alone has about 200,000 vehicles.
A lot of cars. Okay. These public-private partnerships in agencies, you mentioned that as well.
Well, you know, this is something that's been brewing for a long time, and agencies have been taking a look at it. But, you know, as you've said on your show about basically every week, is that there's been a long-time squeeze going on budgets. So agencies are trying to figure out ways to get what they need without having to spend the appropriated funding. And one of those ways is through public-private partnerships. For example, the Army, they're really opening the door trying to get private companies to do things not only like on-base housing, but dining services, even things like in-home childcare. At least those are the things that might be coming down the pipe.
Well, that's intriguing. I think they did something like that during World War II, out of necessity. There's so many war workers, not only military, but the families and actual war workers. And a lot of kids were farmed out to private homes and seemed to work fairly well. So.
Well, you know, necessity always, you know, breeds these sorts of ideas, and we're at a point where, you know, when your budget's been cut so much, there's certain things that you just don't want to do or can't do because of the amount of money that it might cost.
Is there a kickback from the unions when they talk about these partnerships? Because I know the traditional union thinking, which is not always wrong, is that it's not fair to have volunteers or outsiders do this, that, that people should get paid for what they're doing?
Well, I mean, I think on the private side, people will end up getting paid. The idea, though, is that I think you'll still have to work out with the unions exactly who does what, and deciding at the end of the day which jobs are essential and which jobs are inherently governmental that you shouldn't leave into private sector hands.
Yeah, well, and I know this, and this goes back and forth, but one of the arguments about, you know, the inherently governmental and what should be properly be done outside, ironically, it was the Clinton administration that jump-started the much of the contracting out, getting rid of 272,000 people and farming out a lot of those jobs to the private sector. But one of the arguments for contractors, people say they're paid more and they're more expensive, but they don't retire from the government.
Well, you know, I mean, depending on, everyone has a different answer when you ask them what's inherently governmental and whether contractors are good or bad. And I think agencies, every so often, like you were saying, they have to really take a good look at what they're doing and what they want contractors to do and what the trade-offs are, whether the trade-offs are in public safety or in services for their employees.
Looking down the road, we've had furloughs. We've had a government shutdown. We went to the brink with the debt ceiling limit. They've patched it up temporarily. A lot of the people who are speculating now say that this will never happen again. And the, you know, some would argue that the election results in Virginia yesterday were in part a referendum on the shutdowns itself. If you look at that blue-red map on the front page of the Washington Post this morning, you will see that most of the state was red. Most counties voted Republican, but the counties with the most people, and these were all federal strongholds, federal and military strongholds, voted for a governor-elect McCullough.
Well, I think, you know, never say never, right? I think it gives people comfort to say that this will never happen again, but I think every time we go through one of these crises, people say it never happens again. I think this is an argument and this is a debate that's going to go on far longer than I think anyone really wants to admit, whether it's this election, 2016, or even farther, because at the heart of it, it's really a discussion about what our government should be doing and why. And unless we've all seen something different, there hasn't really been an answer to that discussion. And so I think we'll continue to see things like continuing resolutions in the place of real budgets, every 3, 6, 9 months until one side definitively wins out over the other.
Yeah. Well, that could be the new norm, is continuing resolutions.
Oh, it's been a couple years already.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's totally bipartisan. Each party blames the other, but it's happened. In fact, one key, and I can't think of his name now, but ranking member of the Senate was going to retire recently, and he said it was because of this continuing resolution and the partisanship on the behalf of both political parties, his and the opposition. He said he just had enough.
Well, you know, I think the continuing resolution part is a huge problem because agencies need to be able to have certainty in order to make their budgeting decisions. And when you're budgeting every 3 months, how can you possibly plan for long-term programs and make sure you have that funding intact when you're not even really sure how much money you're going to be getting in 4 months?
Well, you know, Secretary Chuck Hagel is getting a lot of press these days. I think many people admire the job he's been doing. Many thought he might not be a very good secretary, are now saying that he turned out pretty well. But he's been saying, fighting the sequestration all along, but he's now quoted as saying, we're going to have to live with it. So he and the defense people are apparently looking at this for at least another year. Do you think that raises the possibility, not necessarily of furloughs, but of reductions in force, of layoffs?
I think no one ever really wants to say those words in public, but I think that's something that's going to be on the table. And I think every time we hear an announcement from DOD, it's something that's a little bit more than they've done last time, whether they want to reduce how much money they're spending to contractors or whether it's something else. I think it's something that's always on the table. I think as sequestration goes on, it's something that will get more and more likely, but I think DOD is really looking at it hopefully from an attrition standpoint and not from reductions in force, but I think that's something that they're never going to take off the table.
Yeah, well, everybody in government watches the Defense Department. It's the tail that wags the dog, and just about every innovative, good or bad program, personnel program in the government that affects civilian federal workers starts in defense, from the actual buyouts to the performance-based salary review situation that they had for a couple of years under the Bush administration. It's tested in defense, and it either works or it doesn't. And defense showed that it wasn't bluffing. When the furloughs came along, they were talking originally about 21 days or more. They ratcheted that number down, but they did furlough people. And then when the shutdown came, they said, we're going to take out, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. They ended the shutdown earlier than many other agencies, but they're still doing it, and they seem to be full players in this.
Well, I definitely think that when DOD leads, people follow. They attract a lot more attention. They're a lot larger than any other agency by far. And I think when you saw things in the shutdown, like DOD employees being able to come back earlier than others, what you're really seeing is that there is a lot of hesitancy on the part of Congress to oppose a lot of what DOD is suggesting, and that allows them to get authorizations and programs through that other agencies couldn't. So in a way, they have more leeway to try these things first. If they try these things first and they work, other agencies feel more comfortable about following.
And what do you see coming down the road from Congress? You know, there's going to be this effort to reach some kind of an agreement, sort of a BRAC-like laundry list of cuts, like the Base Realignment Closure Commission. They didn't have much luck with the Simpson-Bowles Commission appointed by President Obama, but a number of its ideas are considered to be good ones by people on both sides, and one of those things that keeps popping up, at least in discussion, is the chained CPI.
I know. We've heard a lot about that too. And I think at the end of the day, you're not going to see a large deal. I don't think there's enough people in Congress who are willing to make the sacrifices that they say that they might want to make in terms of creating a deal. I think what we're going to see is the next round, when the continuing resolution ends, is another continuing resolution. And I think we won't see any real action until after the midterms. I think that there's just too many things on the table that people want that they're just not going to be able to get. And there is a small but growing contingent in the Senate that is opposed to any sort of transition to the chain CPI.
We reported the other day, and I think you did too, that a top official at the Defense Department woman was leaving after 25 years. And from her picture, she certainly does not look that old. You hear anything about buyouts? Yeah.
I think the idea is that those are always hanging in the background.
Andy, we've got to cut you off here. Sure. Lauren Larson is giving us the hook.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
We'll do it again. Thank you. And thanks for being with us. Have a good week. We'll see you here next Wednesday.
You too, Mike.